Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. After we chased out Brother Lutz from the studio here so that we can get down to business here today, we had a good time with him, though, and I appreciate him. And just want to let you know that he's actually going to be filling in for me on February the 20th. So I'll have to say good things about him here today. But he's a good guy. Appreciate him and his friendship. All right. Well, like I said, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call today, toll free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we're going to actually have a special guest in the studio here today. We have missionary Nader Bharati, and I'm going to let him give his background here in just a few minutes, and we're going to talk about some things, and I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about the Middle East, and you'll know why in a few moments. But let's go ahead and open our program today with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you so much again for the opportunity to be on the air today. Father, we just pray for the peace of Jerusalem, as the Bible says, and Lord, we just pray that you would just raise up people that can reach people not only here, but also in the Middle East with the gospel, because we know there's a crying need there, a desperate need for people to hear the word of God and to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Father, bless our program today. Help us to lift up and glorify Christ through all we talk about, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as I said, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And you can find out more about us at our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And we have past programs there as well as our Sunday night program. If you're not aware of it, we're on every Sunday night from 11 until midnight. We have a whole hour of the program. And so you can tune in on Sunday night with your questions as well. And we'd love to hear from you. But today, as I said, we have a special guest in the studio. We have Nader Bharati, and he's a missionary. And, well, I'm going to let him say where he's going to, where he's from, and why he's going there. So, Brother Nader, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Pastor Al, for having me this afternoon. My name is Nader Bharati. I'm out of Calvary Baptist Church in Ashland, Ohio, and the Lord has called me to the field of Ethiopia, and it's a wonderful time now in the ministry of deputation. I'm over that 50% mark on 57% in just a little over 6 months, and the Lord's really blessed, but how I got called, of course, I was raised in Ohio in two different type of families. When my father came over here from the country of Iran in the late 70s, brother, you know, during that time when the Shah and the Ayatollah, right, the American hostage situation, mm-hmm, that was going on, he came over here for an education, and he met my mother, who was a saved Christian, and they ended up getting married, and that's just not heard of in the Islamic culture. And but God had his plans in my life, and we had opportunities growing up to go to church with my mom on the weekends. And of course, the Lord took my mom home. I had mentioned earlier when she was diagnosed with cancer in 96, and then I was really introduced to the Iranian culture that my dad taught me. And I'm a dual citizen of Iran and speak Farsi. It's just an amazing testimony how God showed me Iran as a child, and how he brought me out of that and brought me into the real truth, the Lord Jesus Christ, after graduating out of college. And now he's sending me back to the Muslims to present the gospel so that they also can be saved and know the Lord and have a home in heaven one day. So,
and for our listeners, Ethiopia, where you're at, a lot of people don't know exactly where places are in relation to each other. Iran would be kind of to the north and east of the Middle East proper. Let's center on Israel as the center of the Middle East. I think that's a good way to look at it.
Sure.
And Iran would be north and east. Of course, you've got Iraq and Syria and Jordan and all in between. But as you go south and west and cross the Red Sea, what is that, the Gulf of Aqaba?
Yes.
I think that's right there. You're going to come to what's called the Horn of Africa, and that's where you find Ethiopia.
Yes.
And it's really not as far as what most people think, because I believe from the coastline of Ethiopia in some spots, you can actually see across to the Arabian Peninsula, can't you?
Yes. And Ethiopia, of course, being on the Horn of Africa, on your east side of Ethiopia, you have Somalia, mm-hmm. Sudan being on the north, and then Kenya on the south of Ethiopia there. So Ethiopia in itself is independent from all the other African countries. They have their own independence there.
And it actually kind of bridges between the Middle East and the African nations in many respects. And also, by way of history, in our Bible, you don't really see Kenya and you don't see Sudan listed, but you do see Ethiopia. And, of course, the Ethiopia of the Bible would be much larger than the Ethiopia on the map today. It would have included, I believe, everything from about where the Aswan Dam in Egypt is today, south, would have been basically the area, nebulous area of Ethiopia in the Bible. But you're in Ethiopia proper, and have you had a chance to be there or visit there?
I actually did. Back in December 2013, I took a survey trip with a veteran missionary who had served there faithfully for many years, and had the opportunity to talk to many of the national pastors who I'll be working with when I leave this upcoming July, and to build a relationship with them. And the people there are just very beautiful. They're very open to the gospel, and they want to know the truth. And a lot of them who we've talked to said, why have there been no other missionaries who have come and shared the gospel with us here in this country? And we're so privileged here in America. You know, we have churches we can go to and hear sound doctrine being preached. But you go to a lot of these third world countries where they don't have a completed Bible. They don't have the means to even have a translated Bible. It really opens your eyes.
Right. And you think about it, in Ethiopia, being an Islamic country, you have a certain measure of freedom there that you don't in other parts of the Muslim world, don't you?
Yes, and that actually, Ethiopia has a history, rich history. Just like in the 1970s, the communists, of course, come into the country and they say, all right, Christian missionaries, you have to leave our country. So a lot of them pull out and they leave Ethiopia. And that opens it up into Haile Selassie's time period while he was still in reign there. And then in 1991 comes by, and then the government of Ethiopia says, all right, we want a freedom of religion in our country. And that's why right now there's a freedom to witness and to worship there in that country. And that allows missionaries and allows evangelists and pastors to even go out there and preach the gospel on the streets, where if, unlike other African and Islamic countries, you don't have that freedom
right. Without
being persecuted or thrown in prison.
Right. Just to the north of Ethiopia, up in Egypt, for instance, the Coptic Christians, they are literally being decimated. I mean, their numbers are dwindling. They're fleeing Egypt because of the political unrest, the persecution by the Muslims of the Coptic Christians. And then just across the Gulf of Aqaba there over in Saudi Arabia, you surely could not do what we're doing right now. That just would not happen. And then, of course, in Yemen, which is probably the closest on the Arabian Peninsula to Ethiopia, would probably be Yemen, which is in the news right now. If you've been following the news, of course, the Yemeni's president has stepped down, and the rebels have taken over. And of course, that brings us to another kind of clash in the Muslim world, the clash between the Sunni and the Shia.
Mm-hmm.
The Saudis, of course, are Sunni Muslim, as are many other places in the Islamic world, and they control Mecca and Medina both. And then the Shiites, of course, are usually, we think of Iran, where your heritage is from, and,
sure.
And your father was a Shiite Muslim, right?
Yes.
Or is.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Certainly pray for his salvation. But
you
have that conflict right there going on. And outside the Middle East, we don't think about the conflict between the Shiites and the Sunnis.
Mm-hmm.
And most people don't realize that more Muslims have killed Muslims than any other group.
Mm-hmm.
Muslims have been killed by Muslims more than by any other group. and that's that battle between Sunni and Shiite, certainly. And so we have the potential for greater conflict now that Yemen has essentially come under the sway of a Shiite Muslim group. And people hear a lot about the Al-Qaeda in Yemen, which is a Sunni group, but it's the Shiites backed by Iran that have basically helped topple the Yemeni's government. And there's certainly the potential for an attempt to seize Mecca and Medina as a result of this if Iran can get a base there. And think about that with your Iranian heritage and knowledge of Farsi being fairly close to Yemen, just across the water a few miles, essentially. What do you see as a potential for you maybe in the future with your ministry?
Yes, and that's something I ask the listeners to pray over. One of my goals is eventually to be able to train the national Ethiopians, because predominantly Ethiopia was a Christian nation, if you follow anything about it. But now the population has grown in the Islamic, and it's almost up to 55% of the population now. There's 92 million, you know, people there. But one of my goals is to get back into Iran, of course, more than foremost. That's where my heart is. And the people there, you know, with all my family being over there. And long-term-wise, I pray that, you know, God will open that door, and he will, if it's in his will. With my dual citizenship, you know, of course, I can live in Iran.
Right.
And that's a huge opening. A lot of missionaries don't have that opening, too. Mm-hmm. Iran being, you know, a closed Islamic country, and, you know, and we have that ability to get in there and help the underground churches, because I shared this with you a little bit ago. There's a huge revival that's happening in Iran right now. There's hundreds, if not thousands, of Muslims getting saved, and that's only because of God's word. And Satan thinks he has the upper hand. He thinks he has Iran controlled by a religious system. But the Lord's sending his armies in right behind the flank, and he's sharing the gospel with them by dreams, by, you know, in scripture, and they're getting saved. So we praise the Lord for that.
Right, and you actually brought out a good point there, and both you and I are independent fundamental Baptists, and just and Pastor Lutz on the program before us, and on the same page with him, and Pastor Andy Rusnacko on the program following ours here today. And we're on the same page here, and I mentioned that to lay the groundwork for where I'm going with this. You brought up an interesting point about God working in Iran and other parts of the Islamic world in ways that a lot of times we don't necessarily gravitate to from our position, but nevertheless, God is doing it, because you and I both have talked to individuals, and for our listeners, many of them are familiar with Gus of East Coast Pizza. He's one of the sponsors of our programs here, and encourage people over there in Garfield Heights. He's right across from the Garfield Heights High School there on Turney Road, and I'm not biased, but I think he's got the best pizza around.
He does.
You've had it before.
Yes.
But I mention him because he is saved and loves the Lord, and he's from Lebanon originally. And he also was a Muslim, and his initial search began because he had some dreams, and he wanted to know who this Jesus was that he was dreaming about. And we are seeing this phenomena across the Islamic world. And I think one of the reasons, maybe you can, from your background, share a little on this too. I think one of the things that's going on is that in the Islamic world, especially in regards to Muslims from more of an Arabic or a Persian background, North Africa, in that part more so than maybe Indonesia or something like that, there seems to be a reception in the heart of the Muslim to these sorts of, if I could call them, advances by God to get their attention. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that?
You know, that goes back to what the Quran states, too. It's taught and it's born into a child in the Islamic faith that they are to pray that their God would give them dreams, you know, and they're supposed to pray for these dreams. And a lot of the Muslims, of course, they're so broken, you know, because the Quran could not fulfill that need.
Right.
And there's only one man that meets that need. His name is Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. who we know as our Savior. They're searching. They're searching the Quran. They're trying to find out who Allah is. And,
right.
And they say, we want a God that's sovereign. We want a God that has love. We want a God that loves his children. And they're searching the Quran, and they're not finding who God is. And God is not Allah. We know God is Jehovah.
Right.
And that's the only God that loves them, who's sovereign, who's the only God that sent his only son to come and die for us, so that we could have eternal life. And that's who they're searching for. And that is my mission, to get back into Ethiopia and Iran and to share that gospel with them.
Right, absolutely. And I've had more than one person who's come from a Muslim background, and plus in numerous books and things that I've read and articles and stuff. And the idea in our Bible, the Bible says God is love,
mm-hmm.
and that God loves us. And most people are familiar, if nothing else, with John 3:16 that says, for what? For God so loved the world.
Yes.
And you do not find that in the Quran. I've read the Quran too. There's no love.
No.
There's no love in the Quran. And Allah is not a God of love. Allah is not a God who loves. He's an angry God.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a God that's painted in the distorted image of man's carnal nature,
mm-hmm.
really, when you get down to it.
Sure.
And so the question then becomes, how do we reach people? And I think you hit part of it there. If God is preparing hearts to search with dreams, and as I said, my friend Gus and others have said, it's not the dream that saved them.
Mm-hmm.
It's the dream that God got their heart's attention.
Sure.
And they began a search. And, you know, God says to search for him and you'll find him, and to call upon him and he'll answer. And, you know, he heard the gospel message, and it's faith comes by hearing, and hearing by not dreams, but the word of God, that people get saved.
Sure.
And many Muslims have called upon the name of the Lord. They've recognized that he is the true God, the one and only true God, and that Jesus Christ is not just a mere prophet, a mere man, but that he's God in the flesh, who took on the form of a man, as Hebrews chapter 12 or 2 tells us, so that he could die in our place to pay for our sins with his own blood. And so when we think about that, you know, we think about the battles going on in the Middle East, and certainly during the State of the Union address, the president was trumpeting that we have stopped the advance of the Islamic State. Although since he told the military to start working to stop them, they've actually gained territory.
Mm-hmm.
I believe now they control territory the size of Belgium, which is larger than what they did when he stopped the advance.
Sure.
So, you know, I don't know. Stopped, I guess, is a relative term. Maybe he slowed it. But getting back to the point here, it's not, as we were talking earlier before the program, it's not bullets and bombs and tanks and airplanes that's going to solve the problems in the Middle East. And even Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And the devil has a very big stronghold in the Middle East today, doesn't he?
Yes.
And it's called Islam. But it's not merely Islam. It's also false Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mentioned the Coptic Christians in Egypt. And unfortunately, you know, many of these groups, like the Copts and different Christian groups in the Middle East, are Christian in name only. They're not Jewish. They're not Muslim. And they're not Zoroastrian or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So they're Christian, and they hold to basic Christian beliefs. They're probably more closely allied with some form of Catholicism.
Sure.
Than anything else. And yeah, so the devil has some major strongholds in the Middle East that he's erected in the hearts and minds of the people there.
Mm-hmm.
And it can show itself in terms of their religion, of their culture, and many things like that. One thing can be resistant to somebody like myself, who obviously has British heritage much more, so I don't have any Middle Eastern heritage. And so if I was there, I would stick out.
Mm-hmm.
But with your Middle East, with your Persian, I should say, not Middle Eastern, but Persian mm-hmm. heritage, your father being from Iran, you will overcome one of those strongholds to a degree,
mm-hmm.
I think, right there, because you look like you fit in more.
Sure.
But how about some of these other strongholds then?
Well, the other strongholds that we have sound doctrine. They don't have a doctrine that they can learn from. I mean, the hadiths, you know, the songs right. that they sing in their prayers, and the shahada, the prayer that's whispered into their baby's ears when they're born, that there's no God but Allah and Muhammad is the prophet. Now, this is the creed that they are right. proclaiming to as their, you know, their means of being of the Islamic nation, if you would. But ultimately, it comes down to where their heart is. And the Bible says, where your heart is, that's where your treasure's going to be. Now, if you're seeking things of this world, that, you know, we need to get our hearts right before we can talk to a Muslim person or a Persian person. God has to be the one that orchestrates all that. And being uniquely qualified for the mission field, you know, it's just, it's an honor. I mean, there's no higher honor on my life that I've ever had to accomplish or achieve and to answer this call that God's given me.
Right.
There's no higher privilege. No, you can't pay me a salary that would even come close to this. I want to do this for the Lord Jesus Christ because his treasures are being laid up for me in heaven. And that is something I'm going to have for all eternity. And there's, and that's what I look forward to. I mean, I have a lot of praying family and churches out there listening to this radio station today. And I want them to know that all that fruit that they have provided by sacrificial finances and prayers, that's going to be rewarded for them one day in heaven.
And, you know, God has uniquely prepared you. That's certainly true. And if people would like to find out more about your ministry, do you have a website that they can go to?
I do. It's www.outreacheastafrica.com.
And that's all one word, outreacheastafrica.com. And you can find out more about Nader Barati and how God has called him into this unique ministry, and keep tabs on what he's doing. And most importantly, as a missionary, it's not the money that you're so much wanting. It's the prayer support of God's people.
Absolutely.
And I know my wife and I, when we were in the Samoan Islands as missionaries, it was the prayers that got us through. Money's helpful, but it's prayer that's the number one thing you need. Like we said in that verse there in 2 Corinthians 10:4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Those weapons, the number one right there is probably prayer, wouldn't you think?
Absolutely.
And it's your prayers, and it's the prayers of people listening, the prayers of people who are behind you in the ministry. It's going to help you be successful. We don't know how long we have before the Lord comes back. We look at things seemingly spinning out of control in the Middle East, but we know that God is still on the throne. He's in control, and he's got a plan, and you're a part of that plan, I'm a part of that plan, and our listeners are a part of that plan.
Mm-hmm.
We all have a part that we can play, and certainly prayer is one of the strongest parts that we can pray there. And then, of course, the Word of God. The Word of God is what counters the Word of Allah.
Mm-hmm.
If you know... and I just got about a little over a minute left, and I just share something real quick. When I arrived in the Samoan Islands, there were a lot of Mormons there, and I was trying to figure out how to talk with Mormons.
Sure.
And the advice I got from some stuff I was reading was, you have to know more about Mormons and the Church of Jesus Christ and Latter-day Saints than the Mormons do before you even begin to talk to them. And I thought, well, how am I going to have time to study the Bible?
Sure.
Same thing with Jehovah's Witnesses. You got to know more about them and the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. Mm. Than they do before you can even begin to talk to them. And I came to the conclusion that's not true.
Sure.
You got to know more about God's word than they do.
That's so
true. You've got to know the word of God, and most importantly, you've got to know the author.
Sure.
And that's Jesus Christ.
Yes.
All scripture is given by inspiration by God, by the Holy Spirit of God. And if you get a hold of a good King James version of the Bible and start studying that, that's one of the reasons we do this question. So you can call in if you got questions, or better yet, why don't you visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio? That information's coming up. Or if you're not too close to us, we can help you find one in your area. And we've got about 20 seconds left. Are you going to be in any church in the area anytime soon?
I'm going to be in Mansfield at Westside Baptist this upcoming Sunday. And then
name of the church?
Yes, Westside
Baptist Church in Mansfield.
Yep.
And I think people can find that at your website. Give that real quick.
Yeah, www.outreacheastafrica.com. And I'm also on Facebook.
All right. Well, thank you, Brother Barati, and God bless. And join us again next week.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561 or by writing Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday night at 6. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express from 7 to 9. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at live.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 p.m. and again next Friday afternoon at 1:30 on AM 1220 The Word. The preceding program has been sponsored by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield.